Hello, everybody. Welcome to That's a Freebie. This week's show, I'm going to have some news on the week that has just passed. Just like always, nothing new there, really. We're going to talk about, and you already know this, we're going to talk about the DeLorean time machine. Very excited for this one. Took quite a bit of research this one, so I'm quite excited for it. As usual, though, I am going to open up with an Ask a Freebie question. This week's question is, do you respond to texts quickly? I think the correct answer to that is, oh, hell no. I'm usually very busy and can't answer a text message right away. Just because I'm usually at work or I might be recording or any number of things. It just means I'm not able to answer right away, which does annoy people because, you know, people expect responses to texts. However, I am also a big believer in that it's okay to text someone back when you're in the correct headspace. So, for example, you just might not have time to finish a long conversation and you can tell that that text message is going to lead to a conversation of some kind. So it's better to wait and message back when you know you're in a position where you can message. And then if you message back and the other person isn't in the right space to do it, that's fine. You just have to keep going till you find a position where you can both message at the same time. Sometimes if it's such an urgent thing, then maybe that's a phone call. That's a text message saying, is it okay if I call you when you're available? And you respond, I'm available now when you're available. And then they will call you. Works, right? You might just want some quiet time. There is no obligation for you to answer somebody's text message. That's only a thing that's been created over the years because of the availability of phones, right? Somebody texts you a message and you're not ready to have that conversation in any way, shape, or form. Doesn't matter why. If you're not ready, you're not ready. That's okay. The other possibility is you might not have the correct information at hand. Someone might have asked you a question and the answer is something you need to look up. You might need to go and find the information. You might need to speak to somebody else first. And that's okay too. And it's okay to say, actually, right now, can't answer this because I haven't got the information. Or just don't respond. Respond when it's okay for you to respond. It's up to the sender of the message to relay the importance of the message. So sometimes you might get a text message and it'll ask you for some information and you don't know if that's urgent or not. I do think it's upon the sender to say, I need this information within the next 5 minutes, if possible, but not to expect it. Yeah, you can't just text message somebody and expect something from them. There is no obligation for them to do that. So yeah, I think we all need to get a little bit better at sending text messages. Well, don't usually start off with such a serious Ask a Freebie question, do we? But that's great. That's what this section is all about. I think you know what to do next. Yeah, that's it. It's sending your own questions. So as usual, you can send a question to thatsafreebie.com or you can use Ask a Freebie on social media and I will find it eventually. This one actually did come in off social media last week. This isn't the one I had planned for this week. So just goes to show I do spot them. But for now, I think we all know what to do next, and that is play that theme tune.
Sit back, relax, unless you're driving. It's time for That's a Freebie.
So this week today, well, I did the worst thing you can ever do this week. Like the worst thing. I've never felt so bad in all my life. Let's put it in perspective of my point of view, just so that you can see how it affected me. So I goes to pick the children up from school. This was last week. That'd be stupid. I'd be sat down outside on the floor in the rain. I'm stood outside the school and the door's open. My boy comes out. My girl's taking unusually long. And one thing I did notice is that there were very few parents around for my kids' class, which was a bit odd. Not like there were some there, but, you know, there was less than I would normally expect to see. So anyway, the door opened. She came out. She looked at me. She pointed at me so that the teacher knew that I was there. And then she walked up to me and immediately started to cry. And I thought, oh no, she's had a bad day, because this happens. She does have bad days, and the first thing she needs to do is just vent when she gets out of school. She puts her arms around me and she said, "Dad, you weren't there." And I instantly thought, what? I've gone cold now just thinking about it. I had no idea what she was talking about. So at first I thought I'd misheard because I didn't have my hearing aids in. I had my AirPods in, which is a bit difficult to hear anyway if I'm not actually facing them. So I bent down and I said, what were they there for? And she said, it was the thing today. I'm not going to say the name of the thing because it gives away the name of a school. But there was a thing. I'll explain in a second. And you weren't there. And I immediately realized that I'd forgotten about something quite important. For the last several weeks, she's been going to a different school, helping the children at this other school. The other school is for children with learning difficulties and special needs. And she's been going with a few volunteers from her class to help them out. And it's been really good for her. It's helping her actually be with people that are a bit more like her. I mean, really, she probably would have benefited from going to this school in the first place. She has been going and helping out, and it's been really good for her. And they've been practicing putting on like a little bit of a show. From what I can gather, because I've seen videos of it since, they were doing a cross between Cats and The Lion King by the sound of things. Because she says it was The Lion King, but they're dressed as cats. So not being there, to my dismay, I can't tell 100%, but that's what it seems like. So they've been practicing really hard, and she's been talking over the last several weeks about how she really wants to get it right, and she's really put a lot of effort into it. And it was last week. Now, for some unbeknownst reason to me, and I still can't work out why I think this, I thought it wasn't till the end of next term, because half term has just ended. So I thought it was the end of half term. The end of full term. Nope, it was the end of half term, and I completely missed it. While it was on, I was cleaning the bathroom. So I wasn't even doing anything that important, and it absolutely broke my heart because she was so upset. And she said, "Dad, you never let me down, and I thought something had happened to you because there was no way you'd let me down." And it was like being shivved over and over and over. It was awful. She has since forgiven me, and she understands that. I told her the truth. There's no point in not telling the truth, right? I said I completely forgot about it because I thought it was at a different time. It's all my fault. And I reached out to some of the other parents that went, and they were able to provide me with some photos and videos. So I did get to see a little bit of the performance. But yeah, quite possibly the worst thing I've ever done is let my daughter down. It was awful. Made me cry, made her cry. All the time while this is happening, the boy stood next to us wondering what on earth is going on. And his friend was actually coming over and staying for tea that night as well. So he stood there completely dumbfounded, looking at us as if to say, do I really want to be involved in this? Anyway, it all went okay. That night she was just a bit quiet, played on her iPad while they got on with things and played and had tea. But yeah, she has forgiven me now, and I'm very glad she has. But I am also absolutely full of regret and devastation that I missed that. Yeah, get a better way of remembering your kids' events is all I can say. I wish I'd have put it in the calendar. I usually add things like that to my to-do list because I live off my to-do list. But for whatever reason, I didn't with this one because I thought I had time. I also thought as well that the school would send out a message on the day of it because they do for everything. Just a reminder to parents, this is what's happening today. These are the rules. This is what time you need to get there by, especially if it's going to be somewhere that's not on the school premises. They usually say, please get here by this point. You won't be allowed in after this point. I was supposed to be picking her up from there as well and bringing her home. So that's why there was less parents there. And they usually give out the rules for that as well. Don't take your child until you've checked in with a teacher. Nope, nothing. Absolutely zero things were sent out. Now, I'm not saying it's their fault. It's my fault. But it would have been handy if they'd have done a little bit of an update, but they didn't. So we're currently in the school holidays. We've got 2 weeks off, which is a little bit odd. Most of the other schools in the area have got a week off. So it's what we seem to do. I don't know where we get the time back. I think we have a little bit less at summer, but I think we break up a week after all the other schools at summer. But for the last couple of holidays, we've had 2 weeks while the other schools have had a week. So I really don't know where we get the time back. We must do somewhere. It works out well for me anyway, because I have all the half terms and full term holidays off, except for the summer holidays. So it means that my holidays get spread out nice and evenly across the year, and it's great. We've got a few trips planned. I'm sure I'll talk to you about them in the coming weeks. We're trying to make this a less expensive holiday time, if possible, which is hard to do because we are saving up for a big holiday next year, which I will talk about closer to the time because we haven't booked anything yet. We've got a few ideas, but we're waiting to, well, get dates. A lot of these dates are not available for next year yet for the ones we want, so it makes it quite hard to plan anything. That's the update of, there's not been much happened up to now, but we shall see. So what could buzz off this week? Well, the thing this week that could buzz off are those people that feel the need to stand right next to you when they're talking to you. Now, I'm not talking about just standing next to you and having a nice conversation. No. I'm talking about those people that stand so their face is virtually touching yours whilst they're talking to you. It's the most annoying thing. I have to deal with this many, many times a day because of the way my job works. And it's really difficult. So as we've talked about before, I'm hard of hearing. So I kind of need to see your face when you're talking to me to sometimes decipher what it is that you're saying. If it's a noisy environment, I can't tell what people are saying. So I have to see the face, and I can generally tell from the look on somebody's face what kind of emotion they're relaying, I suppose is the right word. And it helps me decipher the tone of the conversation. Sometimes it helps me work out what's being said. Sometimes it doesn't, and I just sit there and nod. And I can tell the person's thinking, why isn't he answered? So sometimes I go, you know what, actually, I'm really sorry. I didn't hear any of what you said then. I've started to get used to that over time. Actually asking. But sometimes it's just you're asking over and over and over, and it's just a pain for everybody. And then the other person goes, oh, forget it, which is the most frustrating thing in the world. Anyway, that's not the buzz off for this week. The buzz off is those people that need to talk so close to you. And the worst part is usually they're doing that because they talk so unbelievably quietly. So they're used to getting really close to people so that they can hear what's being said. And it's frustrating when I quite often have to push back and I have to say, can you just take a step back? Because I can't concentrate on what you're saying because I can't see your face. I just need you to talk a little bit louder. And I can tell quite often they ain't doing it on purpose because I'm asking them to do something different. And yeah, very annoying. So those people can absolutely buzz off. Here we are, the moment you've all been waiting for. Yes, that's right. It's Podtails. Oh, woo! I think I am going to do that every week. I wasn't meant to do it, but I just can't help myself. Every time I say Podtails, I have to go, oh, woo! So, yeah. I've even got it written in the show document as Podtails, and it says a woohoo at the end of it just because it makes me laugh. Anyway, as I spoke about last week, we are going to be talking about the DeLorean time machine this week. Got a lot of feedback on the DeLorean episode. You all seem to like it, which is good. It's more of the kind of stuff I want to start doing, so I'm glad that you enjoyed it. And today, we're going to be diving into one of the most iconic time machines in pop culture history, the DeLorean from Back to the Future. This isn't just any car. It's a stainless steel marvel that can travel through time. So buckle up as we explore some fun and fascinating facts about this legendary vehicle. So first up, let's talk about the basics. The DeLorean's time travel ability is powered by something called the flux capacitor. I'm sure most of you know this already. It's a nifty little device that Doc Brown, the eccentric genius, describes as what makes time travel possible. Fun fact, the Doc conceived the idea of the flux capacitor while slipping and hitting his head on the bathroom sink. Imagine that. As you might remember, he slipped and fell off the toilet. And I'm not sure, actually, did he bang his head on the sink? I'm sure he did. He fell off the toilet and banged his head on the sink, if I remember rightly. That's what it said in all the research. But part of me was like, I thought he banged his head on the toilet. But I think the quote in the movie is, when he slipped and fell from his toilet, is what I seem to recall. And why does the DeLorean need to hit exactly 88 miles per hour to travel through time? Well, There's a few theories, but the truth is much, much simpler and a little bit amusing. The filmmakers chose 88 miles per hour because it looked cool on the speedometer. Yep, that's right, it's pure aesthetics. When the DeLorean reaches 88 miles an hour, the magic happens. The flux capacitor activates, the car gets surrounded by electric currents, and then, poof, it just vanishes in a flash of light, leaving behind flaming tire tracks. And if you're outside watching, it's quite the spectacle, with an implosion of plasma and a fiery trail. That was my favourite bit, actually, about the time machine when I watched the movies. I loved how there would always be these two tire marks going into whatever you're going to crash into in the past or the future. I always felt it quite amusing. But what about powering this time-travelling machine? Initially, the DeLorean required 1.21 gigawatts of electricity provided by a plutonium-fueled nuclear reactor. In a pinch, Doc and Marty even harnessed a lightning bolt's power to get back to 1985. Talk about a high-voltage adventure. Yep, I'm sure we all remember that, you know, the whole plot of the first movie. In the second movie, the Doc upgraded the DeLorean with a Mr. Fusion generator, which turns household garbage into the necessary 1.21 gigawatts. We'll come back to that. This upgrade makes it a lot easier to find fuel in a pinch. No need for dangerous plutonium. Interestingly, Mr. Fusion was actually made from a Krupp's coffee grinder. Who knew that coffee grinder could be so powerful? It makes coffee the fuel of the world. Obviously, it's powerful. The DeLorean isn't just about time travel, though. It can also fly, thanks to the upgrades that were made in 2015. Wait a minute. We don't have flying cars yet. However, this feature gets a little bit buggy after a lightning strike, adding to the list of quirky problems the car faces over the trilogy. For example, in Back to the Future Part 3, the fuel line gets damaged, and our heroes have to figure out how to get the DeLorean to 88 miles per hour without gasoline, eventually using a steam locomotive to push it. And let's not forget about the infamous, here we are, gigawatts. In the film, Doc pronounces the power requirement as 1.21 gigawatts, which is actually a mispronunciation. It is supposed to be gigawatts. The mix-up came from a scientific advisor, and it stuck, becoming one of the film's charming quirks. Beyond the movies, the DeLorean time machine has left a lasting legacy. In 2021, it was added to the Library of Congress's National Historic Vehicle Register. Yep, you heard that right. This fictional car is now a part of real-world history. Let's finish off with a few tidbits from filming. Originally, the time machine was conceived as a laser device housed in a room. It was later attached to a refrigerator in early drafts of the script. However, this idea was scrapped because filmmakers were worried that kids might try to climb into refrigerators, you know, mimicking the film as they do. Director Robert Zemeckis then suggested the DeLorean because of its futuristic look and the gullwing doors, which made it appear like an alien spaceship to a 1950s audience. I already mentioned the iconic 88 mile per hour speed for time travel was chosen because it looked good on the speedometer and it was easy to remember. But did you know the actual speedometer in a DeLorean only goes up to 85 miles per hour due to 1979 law aimed at reducing speeding? Interesting. The sound effects for the DeLorean's engine were a mix of sounds from a Porsche 928 V8 and the Landspeeder from Star Wars. The car itself was notorious for being underpowered, so the filmmakers had to get creative to give it a more thrilling sound. Now that I know that and I go back and listen, you can actually hear it. It actually makes perfect sense. The flying DeLorean scenes used a combination of live action footage, animation, and a 5:1 scale model built from epoxy, steel, and aluminium. This model, about 33 inches long, was meticulously detailed and filmed against a blue screen to create the illusion of flight. After the DeLorean travels through time, it appears extremely cold with frost forming on its surface. This effect is achieved by pouring liquid nitrogen onto the car to try and give it that icy appearance. I wonder if that only works as well because it was made from stainless steel. Like, I would imagine that would damage the paintwork on a painted car. Maybe not. I don't know enough about liquid nitrogen to be able to tell that. All I know is that it makes DeLoreans look cool and Terminators smash into a thousand pieces. The time slice effect showing the DeLorean disappearing through time was a combination of practical and optical effects. The filmmakers used smoke, sparks and flashbulbs, along with animated effects like contrails and flashing lights to create the time travel transition. Quite possibly one of the best time travel effects I've ever seen. Loved it. The original A-car used for close-up shots and detailed scenes was later displayed at Universal Studios. Over time, it was damaged by visitors taking pieces as souvenirs. Oh, come on! Bob Gale, the writer, selected a team to restore it, and it's now displayed at the Peterson Automotive Museum in Los Angeles. People, just leave things alone. Why do you have to damage stuff? Several DeLoreans were used during filming. The B-car used for stunts was heavily damaged in a train crash scene. Parts of it were later used in various replicas. The C-car was used for interior shots and was torn apart to fit the cameras inside. I wonder if when the train... Spoilers for a very old movie. I wonder if when the train smashes the DeLorean at the end of the movie, I wonder if that was actually something they just did. For the Back to the Future ride at Universal Studios, a special 8-passenger DeLorean was created. This version of the car could fly and had a sub-ether time-tracking scanner to locate other DeLoreans in time. So there you have it, the DeLorean's Time Machine, a blend of sci-fi genius, real-world creativity and a touch of movie magic. Whether it's hitting 88 miles per hour or running on garbage, the car is the ultimate symbol of adventure and innovation. Next time you watch Back to the Future, you'll know just how much thought and creativity went into making this iconic vehicle come to life. If you love That's a Freebie, and of course you do because you're listening, you can now subscribe to That's a Freebie Plus. Just head over to thatsafreebie.com/plus. There you have two options. You can become a Support Bee or a Support Bee Plus. It's a lot of pluses, right? Both tiers give you access to the unpolished feed. That is the raw, unedited recording of the show sent out immediately after it's recorded, so you can see all the times that I mess up. There's been a few in this episode. You also get access to any specials that I make early, and I'll be adding more as time goes along. And there's one of the times I messed up. I will leave that one in for you. This is what the unpolished feed is like for you. You also get access to any specials that I make, and I'll be adding more as That's a Freebie Plus gets more popular. You also get access to the Discord so you can talk with me directly and possibly shape a future episode. Support Bee Plus members get access to all that, plus the Uncut feed, which features stories that just can't make it into the main feed, usually because they are not family friendly. You will also get access to an exclusive channel in the Discord that no one else does. And if you can't or don't want to join Plus, that's okay. You can still help the show by sharing it far and wide and leaving a review in your podcast client of choice. Just while we're talking about the Uncut feed, there is currently only one story in the Uncut feed. I do have, I think, 4 or 5 ready to go. I just haven't had the opportunity to record them yet. I will probably record them after the school holidays, and I'll upload them then at that point. I'll just upload them all at once. I was going to do them week by week, but I'm a little bit behind on it, so I will upload them all at once. The pick of the week this week is reaction lenses. Some of you may have noticed, because it does happen from time to time, but whilst I'm recording, the sun might shine through the window and my glasses will go dark. I have recently changed the angle at which I'm sat, so that does help with it. However, I cannot sing the praises of reaction lenses anymore if I tried. They are amazing things. I notice it more when I have to go without my reaction lenses. There was an incident last week where I couldn't find my glasses. It turns out I just put them down in a place that was completely different than what I wanted. And I was doing some writing. In fact, weirdly, I was writing the Time Machine segment for this episode. So I needed my glasses because I can't see the text without them. So I had to put a pair of old ones on that were even an old prescription. And I just forgot, went out. I did a little bit of shopping. But boy, could I tell the sun was in my eyes the entire time. And it wasn't even that sunny. I have noticed over time that my eyes are getting more and more sensitive to the light. So having reaction lenses has been great. I have in the past sort of jump between wanting to have reaction lenses and not wanting to have reaction lenses. But I can say that I much prefer that. I think I will probably always buy them now. Now, there are different types of reaction lenses. I would advise getting the type, essentially spending the most money you can on them. Buy cheap frames, get good lenses is probably my advice. I've never had a pair of frames that I absolutely think are wonderful, and I'm so glad that I spend £400 or £500 on them. I generally tend to buy Oakley frames purely because, in fact, for those watching on the video, you can see, hang on, let me just switch so I can see my camera. You can see that the arms, well, that's hard to do. You can see that the arms on Oakley lenses go straight back. And that is the only reason I buy Oakley lenses, because the other ones, the ones that curve down the back of your ear, they bang on my hearing aids as I walk down the street. So all I can hear is click, 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 click. It's really annoying. So having the ones that go straight back just reduce it. It doesn't completely go away, but for the most part, it does. It just helps reduce it. Now, this time when I bought my reaction lenses, I went for ones that change quickly and change back quickly. Like, don't get me wrong, they don't change back straight away. They still take like maybe 5 minutes at the most, I would have thought. But previously I've had ones that were, they weren't actually made by the company Reactions. They were called something like light adjusting lenses, and they were fine. They did great. They turned purple. I loved them. However, they took a good 20 to 30 minutes to change back to all clear. So what I had to do is basically, if I was out and about and I'd walk into a shop, I couldn't see anything because they went so dark. I had to just put the glasses on my head, which is fine for the most part. But if I need to read something, I was in a bit of a struggle. And if I was at home, I discovered that I could run my lenses under a cold water tap and they'd instantly change back, which is a great excuse to clean them as well. Weirdly, I've never actually tried it with these lenses, but I might give that a go at a later date and see. But yeah, I would advise spending as much money as you can on them to get the quicker changing ones. But also, one thing I didn't do this time, there is a reason why I didn't, but you can get some that slightly tint when you're in the car, which I think would be more useful because mine don't do that. But the ones that tint when you're in the car tend to not tint. It's hard to say this. Tend to not change the tint back quickly, if I remember rightly. So I went for the quicker reacting ones. Because your car windscreen, and maybe you don't know this, not a lot of people seem to know this, but your car windscreen is actually coated to protect you from UV light. So reaction lenses don't change when they see light. They change when they see specifically UV light. That's what causes the reaction. Otherwise, they'd be going dark all the time because there's light inside your house. Now, if you walk past a window, they change. Because they've absorbed UV light. So if they don't do that in a car, because the windscreen is protected you from it, but they do with this very specific type. I don't know what's different about them. It's worth having a look into, actually, because I am due some new glasses soon anyway. The other drawback is they can be expensive. I found a place online, I think they're called Select Specs. That's where I usually get my glasses. And they're actually quite reasonable for this kind of thing. So I would maybe advise having a look at that in the future. But yeah, reaction lenses, they're actually really, really good. The only other thing I would suggest is if you're ever going out anywhere to a wedding or anything like that, or some sort of place where you might end up having your photograph taken, take a pair of clear ones as well, because you end up being the only person stood in a group of people with sunglasses on if you've just come in from inside to take a picture. That's the only problem I've ever had with reaction lenses. I do wish, actually, there was a version of them that just had a button on the side that you could press to fully clear them. But hey, it's not going to happen, is it? This week's finale. If you recall, last week I asked what phobias everybody has, and I said I would share my phobias this week. I have two main ones. You know, everybody's scared of spiders, snakes, all that kind of stuff, you know. If you're not terrified of spiders or snakes, then there's probably something wrong with you. there's not something wrong with you. I understand that that's just a thing that some people don't like. But mine are more ridiculous than that. One of them's a fairly normal one, and it's heights. I really don't like heights, but more specifically, I don't like heights when you're in a situation where you are not protected is probably the only way I could think about it. I don't like heights outdoor. So I could be in a building. I could be on the top floor of a 400 floor building, which I don't think exists. That'd be ridiculous, right? I don't like it, but I'm okay with it because I'm inside. Not a problem. I could even stand in the window and look down. Not a problem. But if I was outside, so say, for example, I was at the top of Blackpool Tower, which is where I discovered I had this problem, not a fan. So I'm at the top of Blackpool Tower. I'm looking out the window. Everything's great. I decide to go outside because you can do. You could go outside and walk around. And immediately, as soon as I felt the wind, I knew it was a mistake. I felt sick. I froze. I literally froze. I couldn't move. I've never been more paralyzed with fear, I think, in all my life. I pinned myself against the back wall, and all I had to do was move a foot to my left, and I would have been back inside because I was still in the doorway. But fear took over, and I went right. And I went all the way round with my back pressed against the wall, shuffling round. And what I didn't realise is that my parents, who I was with at the time, were inside watching me scrape along the window all the way round till I made it to the other side. And my stepdad looked at me and he went, "What are you doing?" I was scared. It was awful. And I don't like edges of things as well. Like, you know, when you're in a shopping centre and your kids always seem to want to walk on the railing type area, you know, at the edge, I will not let my kids do that. They're like, "But other kids are doing it." I'm like, "Yeah, well, those kids are more likely to fall than you are, aren't they? Because they're doing it." Or like when they walk on the edge of the curb outside, I'm like, "You do realise, like, I've seen drivers drive too close to the curb. They will clip you and knock you." I don't like edges of things, but especially high up edges. My wife will think nothing of walking to the edge of a cliff, looking over and going, "Oh, that's lovely." Whereas I'm 4 miles away saying, "Well, we're a bit close to the edge here. Let's just move back." Now, I know I'm over the top of it, but I'd rather that than fall, because not something I want to be involved with. No. And my other one, this one's far more ridiculous and I can't explain it very well. Well, I can explain it, but it just doesn't, yeah. And I've spoken about it before. You already know this one, but it's eggs. Absolutely terrified of the things. I'm getting better with them. I can now crack them into a cooking recipe. That's fine. But years and years ago, my mum cracked an egg open and it was just the most hideous thing I've ever seen inside. It was like browny red. It stank of death. It was awful. Oh, God. It's knocking me sick even thinking about it now. That's why I don't like eggs. And, you know, I understand that I'm probably one of the only people out there. It is actually a real thing. It's called ovophobia. Other people have it, so I'm not the only one. Let's move on. I do have another question this week. And this week's question is, did you ever skip school? And do you think I ever skipped school? I'll give you the answer next week. For now, that is all. Thank you for listening. It's been a blast. Don't forget that you can find the show at That's a Freebie or That's a Freebie Podcast on most social media. It is in the show notes, so you can just click links to each individual one. You can take a look at the clips that I make. You can watch the full video sometimes of these episodes. I don't upload every single one. Some of them might have an issue with the lip sync or something like that, which is what happened last week. Couldn't work out why, so I just gave up trying to fix it. And if you want to speak to me directly on social media, I am Hey It's Diggy on almost everything. But for now, bye-bye.